Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to continue tonight looking at the economy of the kingdom. This is the fifth part of a series of messages on the economy of the kingdom. Economy is just talking about financial matters of the kingdom of God. So Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 to 19, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Think not that I am come to destroy. In the Greek, the word destroy can also be translated loosen down or disintegrate. Don't think that I've come to loosen down or disintegrate the law or the prophets. I am not come to loosen it or disintegrate it, but to fulfill it. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one, and I want you to note one, of the least commandments. He's not talking about all the commandments. Jesus Christ over here is talking about least commandments. In other words, there are great commandments and there are lesser commandments. There are weightier matters and then there are matters which are not weightier, which are least. Now the least commandments are not just one. He says that they are plural. So he's talking about least, one of the least commandments, plural. It means that there are many least commandments. Okay? Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, what is them, the least commandment, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The great in the kingdom of heaven are not what men see as great, but those who do and teach the least of what is commanded us. Okay? So the great in the kingdom of heaven are not necessarily miracle workers, but people who do and teach least commandments, not even the weightier matters, but the least. Let's go to Matthew 23 and then verse 23. Scripture says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And please note, weightier matters of the law. These are the great commandments in the law. What are they? Number one, judgment. Number two, mercy. Number three, faith. Says that these ought ye to have done, that is doing the weightier commandments, and not to leave the other, which is the other, is talking about the ones which are not weightier, and what are they? The least commandments. In this context, we know that he's talking about a tithe as a least commandment, and not a great commandment. If you read the book of Luke, is it chapter 11 or so, you get to understand from verse 39 to 44 that Jesus Christ adds love to justice, mercy, and faith to form the great commandments. Love, according to Luke, love is added to justice, mercy, and faith. They are the major commandments. But what are the least commandments? We know from Matthew 23 verse 23 that it's talking, one of them is tithe. One of them is tithe. Let's go to our final scripture, Acts chapter 20 and then verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and then verse 35. Paul is speaking. He says, I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. So you labor to support the weak, not necessarily supporting yourself. Work to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Question, when did Jesus Christ say that? When did he teach these things? Okay, so we are looking at the economy of the kingdom of God, part 5 of it. And we have said that every nation has got financial affairs. So is God's nation. It has got financial affairs. Finances are a very important support base of the church, or if you like, of the gospel. I know some people will wish that we do not talk about finances, but we should leave finances to the world's financial experts and books on finances and all that. But let me ask, how can we leave our support to people who have no respect for the gospel? We cannot do that. We must jealously guard what holds the gospel. We must jealously guard what holds, what saints, and what supports the gospel. Otherwise, the gospel will be endangered and the gospel will be muzzled. Because without finances, you cannot do anything. Preach on the air, it's not for free. You cannot run even the church. So it is not a wise thing to leave your support base to people who do not, who respect beauty pageants more than the propagation of the gospel, who will not support church, who will not support the word of God going to places. They will rather criticize the gospel. So it's not a wise thing to do that. I know sometimes even preachers tend to speak like that. That leave it to the experts and all that. We can't do that. We have to guide what is referred to as the wheels of the gospel. Otherwise the gospel is going to be muzzled on this earth. It cannot go forth. Hallelujah. Okay. So today we are talking about the final way of handling God's money, which we started in the part 4. The final way of handling God's money is giving. We said that money is for God. We are only stewards. We ourselves are for God. And God must direct the use of his money. And Jesus Christ really taught about giving. He taught about working. He taught about earning, thoughts. I'm talking about teaching, not thinking. He taught, teaching, giving, working, earning. He taught about spending. He taught about saving. He taught about investment. He taught about getting out of debts. He taught about receiving. Now, the opposite of giving is receiving. And in one of our texts, we read that Jesus Christ actually said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you think that giving is a burden, giving is a problematic thing, or it's not a good thing, I want you to just reflect on the dangers. I call them the dangers of receiving. So that you become afraid and you give or make up your mind to give than to receive. One of the dangers of receiving is that receiving is addictive. In other words, if you are always receiving, I tell you what, it will be quite difficult for you to break out of that kind of habit. You will always expect it's like a bed. Have you seen baby beds? All that they do is that they sit in the nest, they close their eyes and open their mouth. And whatever mama puts in the mouth, they don't even open their eyes to see who is feeding them. They are always receiving. That's not how God wants us to be. Receiving is also slavish. Proverbs 22 verse 10 verse 7 tells us that the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. So if you are a receiving person, you become a slave. You enslave yourself. Receiving takes control away from you. You cannot control yourself. When you receive, the people who give to you will control you. It's a very powerful tool of controlling people. Receiving. Now, receiving also makes you blind. That one, the Bible says it. If the Bible didn't say it, receiving makes you blind. It said that it doesn't make you, excuse me to say, think. Receiving is a very dangerous thing. That's why Jesus said it is more blessed. Yes, it's good for you to receive. Oh, all right, but compared to giving, it is much more blessed. And I'm just highlighting the dangers of receiving so that you become more prone to the subject of giving than thinking about receiving. Exodus 23 verse 8 tells us that receiving makes you blind. It's very, very dangerous. Receiving, it makes you blind. Receiving also makes you compromise righteousness. It's very easy for you to compromise yourself when you receive from somebody. A person can easily lead you astray. You compromise righteousness just because somebody has been feeding you all the time and he controls you. So God wants us really to understand giving and give ourselves to it. Your giving life is important to God, because if you can give your possessions, you can give your money, according to Jesus, you can give your heart and your life as well. Matthew chapter 6 verse 21 tells us that where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the extent of your giving out money or your treasure, all right, generally it shows the extent of your giving your heart. The extent of giving money, I'm not talking about just in value or in volumes, but the extent of giving out money shows the extent that you will go in giving your life. Money and your life, they move together according to Jesus. Where your money is, there will your heart be. Where your heart is, there will your money also be. So Jesus Christ taught that your heart and your treasure is at the same place, and really it takes the same effort to release them. If you can release money, you can release your life. If you can release money, you can release your heart. The extent to which you release money can give us an indication the extent of your dedication to the thing for which you are giving out your money. That's according to Jesus. And it's powerful right there. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't give because I don't have much. I want to advise that let us develop a giving attitude before you get money. It's better to develop a giving attitude. Understand giving, biblical giving, before you get money. Because getting money doesn't make you give. In fact, getting money, if you don't know, it complicates your life. It becomes so complicated that if you do not have a giving attitude already, getting much money, you'll find it very difficult to give. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 or so teaches us that we should be givers whether we have or not. In other words, we must have a giving program that is based upon the word of God. We must have a giving attitude. Now, I want us to go back to our text in Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 17 to 19 and understand some few things over there.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24. In fact, the day that I understood that scripture in Proverbs 11, 24 to 25, I became afraid. There is a holy fear, and that is what happened to me. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25, it says that there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Let me show you what scared me in that scripture. That's a holy scare. You know, I always understood the scripture as opposite. In other words, somebody who is giving and somebody who is not giving. I understood it like there is somebody who gives or scatters and then he receives. And there is somebody who does not give and the person does not or gets poverty. It tends to poverty. But if you look at it closely, that is not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is really saying that there is a type of giving that makes you poor. And that is where my holy fear went to. There is a certain type of giving that makes you poor. Look at it. It says that there is somebody who scatters and yet increases. And there is somebody who withholds more than his meat. In other words, the person is giving, but he keeps back more than he should keep, he should give. Although you see the person as a giver. And the Bible says that it tends to poverty. So there is a giving that leads to poverty. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 3 also tells us that it's possible for you to give and even give to a point of giving your whole life, yet it does not profit you. It's like a wasted thing. So we must understand giving properly. Otherwise, we can't deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, but pastor, oh, I'm a giver. Look, when I go to church, I give collection. And then even when they are doing fundraising, I give money. And I give to the poor. I give to social programs in the nation and things like that. It's possible for you to be giving like that, but yet be poor and the thing not profit you. Now that background will help us in Matthew chapter 17:5-17. Jesus said that, don't think that I came to just relax things for you. Don't think that I came to loosen the law and make it say that you do not have to obey the law. Don't think that I came to loosen things in the prophets. Says that rather I came to fulfill them. And he tells us about the least commandments, plural, least commandments. Now these least commandments are things that concerns God's financial covenant. And I want to say over here that the first way God wants us to give, the Bible teaches us to give, is to give to God. Give to God. Give to God. In my notes, I've written give to God / the church. Because really, really, God doesn't need your money. In the sense of God, Spirit, spending money. No, he doesn't need money. That is why Jesus referred to money as unrighteous mammon. It's unrighteous mammon. That's Luke chapter 16 or so. It's unrighteous mammon because it is something that is used in this unrighteous world. That is why Jesus called it unrighteous mammon. It belongs to an unrighteous world. Money, it belongs there. In heaven, you will not need money. Okay? So, we need to give to God / the church. Now, there are three things in God's financial covenant that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5:17-19 and Matthew 23:23. Those three things are tithe, first fruits, and offerings. Or let me put it in order for you. The first one is offering. The second one is tithe. And then the third one is first fruit. Okay? So, those are three ways of giving to God. They are the three elements in God's financial covenant. They are three authoritative prescriptions for financial well-being. It is not just one. Jesus talked about least commandments, plural, and he referred to even one of the least commandments. In other words, these commandments that we see in the Old Testament are still relevant. They are still relevant. Indeed, if you do an extensive study into God's financial covenant in the Old Testament, you will get to understand that these three things, offerings, tithe, and first fruits, did not start in the law part of the Old Testament. In fact, it started before the law, L-A-W. Before the law, we had this financial covenant that God made with mankind. So it's something really that does not belong strictly to the law, talking about the law of Moses, but it belongs to the period before the law of Moses. You see them clearly there. You see them during the law of Moses, and then they are still relevant after the law of Moses. Now, I am trying to put all these three together as the least commandment, at least part of the least commandments that the Bible clearly teaches, because spiritual authority is established by three. That is why the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every fact be established. If you want to be established financially, you need to give to God or to the church in this three manner: offerings, tithes, and first fruit. You don't give tithes and then refuse to give offerings. No, it's not the case. You must work the three together even as they apply to you. Now, we have had a lot of teachings on first fruit, and so the work will be a little easy for me over there. But I want us to just understand that spiritual authority is established by three, not two or one. So don't do one and leave the other. Don't do it that way. Hallelujah. Okay, so If you look at the authority in this world, you can talk about financial, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are the spiritual authority. You can talk about the sun, the moon, and the stars. They are the authorities during the night or for the sky. Now, God made them to be rulers, okay? During the day and during the night. The sun, the moon, and the stars. You can talk about Peter, James, and John. You can talk about Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. You can talk about the three archangels. One fell and Apollyon was mentioned in the book of Revelations and all that. Now, this is just to teach us that in spiritual things, three is the number of authority. If you want to have financial authority on this earth, you obtain it not just by one part of God's financial covenant, but by all the three. Can I have an amen? Now, financial matters are the least of the things that you can talk about or you can practice. Financial matters, they are the least of the commandments or subjects that you can talk about compared to faith, love, justice, mercy. They are the powerful, weightier matters according to Matthew 23:23. But Jesus says that all the same, you can have all the faith, but I want you not to forget about the least things, which are the financial things. Why? Because in Matthew 5, verse 19, Jesus tells us the reason why, in spite of the fact that financial matters are the least subjects you can talk about or you can practice, yet he says that if you obey them, you will be called great in the kingdom. So the least is making you great in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That is because in the kingdom of God, it is through the least that you can become great. It's a principle. You can write it down. In the kingdom of God, it is through the least that you can become great. Most people do not have a problem doing the great things, but they have a problem doing the least things. But Jesus really taught, if you read Luke chapter 16, that it is true being faithful in the least. And in the context of that, he was even talking about money in Luke chapter 16. It is when you are faithful in the least that he says that qualifies you for the true riches, that you become great. So this is a very clear teaching of Jesus. People underestimate money matters and all that. Oh, it's money and all that. But it can trick you. And you can lose greatness in the kingdom of God just because you are not faithful in God's financial covenant. And we are learning tonight that they are threefold to give us financial authority: offerings, tithes, and first fruit. Hallelujah. Now, if you look, let me say just some few things about these three things and we'll move on very quickly. If you look into the Bible, what the Bible has said about offerings, Luke chapter 6 verse 38 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you will get to understand that when we give offerings, and everybody should give offering. Everybody should give offering. Whether rich or poor should give offerings. Okay? Now, when we give offerings, Luke 6 verse 38 says that men will give unto our bosom. Men will give back unto us. They will give us the measure that we give. The measure that we give. That is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that he who gives bountifully shall receive bountifully, and he who gives sparingly shall receive sparingly. In other words, if you give small, you receive small, but if you give big, you receive big. That is what the Bible actually teaches. Okay, Jesus said in Luke 6:38 that with the measure that you met, it shall be measured to you again. But that is offering, and offering is for all of us. Now, tithe is not really for all of us. Tithe is for people who are earning something, working and earning something. So really, tithe is not for everybody. Offering is for everybody. Tithe is not for everybody. When you pay tithe, you are investing in your generational future. You are investing in your future, the Bible teaches, to the fourth generation. Abraham paid tithe, and it was an investment. That levy was to reap the benefits of the tithe that Abraham paid. So when you put in your tithe, you are securing a future for yourself, and most importantly, for your children, for people after you. That is why Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 also, when he said, I bring you all the tithe, he said that God was going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive it. And the question that I ask people is that, look, if you are you are promised a blessing that you cannot receive, then who receives the blessing? Because sometimes when we put in our tithe, we expect that the next day we will have some multiple, some money coming to us and things like that. But practically you can see that you put in your tithe, but for 15 years, still, you are not really receiving money back. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.